This is VOA News. I'm Joe Ramsey. Dozens of countries and organizations have pledged more than 1 billion euros in fresh aid pledges to keep Ukrainians powered, fed, and warm during the winter. French President Emmanuel Macron hosted an international donor conference in Paris on Tuesday to secure the support. He condemned the Russian strikes that have ravaged power stations, water facilities, and other essential services in Ukraine. The U.S. is finally agreeing to an urgent request from Ukraine as Russia's war continues, AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
American officials say Washington's poised to approve sending Ukraine a Patriot missile battery. Kyiv's been desperate for more robust weapons to fight off Russian aerial attacks that have destroyed key infrastructure. The Patriot surface-to-air missiles would mark a key advance in the types of defense systems the West provides. The Patriot system has been under consideration for some time, and one official says it took on more priority as winter closed in. Sagar Magani at the White House.
U.S. President Joe Biden has signed gay marriage legislation into law before a crowd of thousands, a ceremony that reflects growing acceptance of same-sex unions.
Today's a good day. A day America takes a vital step toward equality, toward liberty and justice, not just for some, but for everyone.
Biden signed the bill on the South Lawn of the White House Tuesday afternoon. The new law is intended to safeguard gay marriages if the U.S. Supreme Court ever reverses its 2015 decision legalizing same-sex unions nationwide. This is VOA News. The United States warned Tuesday China and Russia were destabilizing Africa with their growing inroads as it rolled out the red carpet to the continent's leaders and pledged billions of dollars in support. 49 African leaders flew into the Washington cold for the first continent-wide summit with the United States in 8 years. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, at a panel with several African presidents at the start of the three-day summit, warned China was expanding its footprint in Africa, quote, on a daily basis, through its growing economic influence.
The troubling piece there is that they're not always transparent in terms of what they're doing, and that creates problems that will be eventually destabilizing if they're not already.
Biden plans to unveil $55 billion U.S. dollars for Africa over 3 years. More than 200,000 Somalis are suffering catastrophic food shortages, and many are dying of hunger, and with that number set to rise to over 700,000 next year, according to an analysis by the UN. Reuters correspondent David Doyle has more.
Parts of Somalia have not yet reached famine levels, United Nations agencies and aid groups said on Tuesday. But it could just be a matter of time. According to the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, or IPC, Phase 5 famine has been temporarily averted, but conditions in the Horn of Africa country are getting worse. Jens Lerck, spokesperson of the UN's Humanitarian Office, said the commendable response of humanitarian actors and local communities has so far kept famine outside of the door.
A judge has ordered ousted Peruvian President Pedro Castillo to remain in custody, denying his appeal as authorities build a rebellion case against him. The Supreme Court judge's decision could further inflame violent protests across the country. Castillo's successor, Dina Boluarte, begged protesters on Tuesday to calm down, saying she hadn't sought the presidency. Thousands of Argentina fans gathered in the Plaza de la República in central Buenos Aires to celebrate on Tuesday the 3-0 victory over Croatia in the World Cup finals. Two-time world champions Argentina produced their best display of the tournament to ensure they'll meet either France or Morocco in Sunday's final. Find more on our website, voanews.com, or follow us on the VOA mobile app. I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.
Today is Wednesday, December 14th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I am Gina Dolfo in Washington. Coming up in the next half hour, the U.S. kicks off summit with African leaders pledging billions of dollars to tackle, quote, core challenges, unquote.
We are bringing the resources to the table in significant numbers. And if you compare what the United States is committing over the next 3 years to what any other country is committing, I think we stack up extremely favorably.
70 countries and institutions pledged more than 1 billion euros to help Ukraine get through a harsh winter.
Russian forces have battered the country's energy grid and other critical civilian infrastructure, leaving many without essentials ahead of Ukraine's typically frigid season.
And at least 50 people are killed following heavy rains and landslides in the DRC. We'll have these stories and more next on International Edition. Stay tuned. The U.S. kicked off the summit with African leaders Tuesday, pledging billions of dollars to tackle, quote, core challenges, unquote, facing the continent. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said the fund will be invested in critical areas. David Doyle of Reuters has more.
The United States will commit $55 billion to Africa over the next 3 years, a White House official has said. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan was speaking ahead of a U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit. Sullivan said the funds would be deployed across a wide range of sectors to tackle the core challenges of our time.
We are bringing the resources to the table in significant numbers. And if you compare what the United States is committing over the next 3 years to what any other country is committing, I think we stack up extremely favorably.
President Joe Biden is hosting dozens of African leaders in Washington, D.C. He's expected to announce support for the African Union to join the G20 and for a permanent member from the continent on the United Nations Security Council.
The president will close the business forum on Wednesday with public remarks. Later in the day, he will host a small group of leaders at the White House for a discussion on upcoming presidential elections in 2023 in Africa and U.S. support for free, fair, and credible polls across the continent.
Biden has made trips to visit U.S. allies in Asia, Europe, and the Middle East since taking office. He is yet to visit Africa since becoming president. Part of Biden's diplomatic efforts so far have focused on promoting Western democracies as a counterweight to China. But U.S. officials have insisted that the leaders' summit will not be all about discussing Beijing's influence. On Monday, China's ambassador to the U.S. rejected charges that his country had mired African countries in debt, saying that Chinese investment and financing assistance is not a trap, it is a benefit.
That's David Doyle of Reuters, and U.S. President Joe Biden hopes to boost trade opportunities for American businesses and investors while also building trust with African leaders during the three-day U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit. 49 African heads of state and leaders, as well as the African Union, will be taking part. As U.S. former ambassador to Senegal and the Gambia, a member of the National Security Council, retired diplomat Herman Cohen, he has decades of experience in Africa. Cohen advises African governments on strategic planning as president of Cohen & Woods International. In a conversation with reporter Carol Van Dam, he agrees with experts who say the U.S. had taken a backseat to Russia and China in influence on the continent.
What do they have to offer Africa? They have nothing to offer on economic development, which is what Africa needs. What Russia has given is in areas of conflict, like the Sahel or in Somalia, for example, they are offering mercenaries who take a lot of money from these countries. So I don't see Russia influence as being so great. For example, in Central African Republic, which has had a civil war, they sent in mercenaries, so-called Wagner Group, and the Wagner Group is now taking control of Central African Republic diamonds. And Central African Republic has some of the best jewelry diamonds in the world, and the Russian mercenaries are now controlling it. I don't see that as Russian influence. I think this is Russian destructive influence.
Well, why does Russia then have that kind of influence? What are they giving these countries?
Well, in civil wars, of which there are several in Africa, especially in the Sahel, they provide mercenaries. Look, we will get rid of the enemy. The government is facing a civil war. We will take care of these rebels. In return, we want a lot of money. So some African countries have no choice. It's the Russian mercenaries or nothing.
What kinds of deals will trade ministers meeting with U.S. lawmakers try to work out?
Yes, well, I think we're going to ask for reciprocity. There is the African Growth and Opportunities Act, where the Africans can send any products that they manufacture to the United States duty-free. I think we're going to try to get reciprocity. The European countries' exports to Africa come in duty-free. So we want our exports to Africa to come in duty-free. I think we will put a lot of pressure on the African trade ministers and the heads of state to give us this equal opportunity.
What about on the political side? Many African countries, you know, have been ruled by autocratic leaders for years and years with rampant corruption as a byproduct of that. Will U.S. officials bring that up, this touchy subject, with their African counterparts at the summit?
I think they have to do that because what does corruption do, basically? It takes a large percentage of the revenue that the government, that the country earns, say, from mining or from agriculture. And it turns it into, gives it to private pockets. So the United States has to raise that.
That's Ambassador Herman Cohen, president of Cohen & Woods International. He was speaking with my colleague Carol Van Dam. The U.S. is finally agreeing to an urgent request from Ukraine as Russia's war continues. Associated Press correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
American officials say Washington's poised to approve sending Ukraine a Patriot missile battery. Kyiv's been desperate for more robust weapons to fight off Russian aerial attacks that have destroyed key infrastructure. The Patriot surface-to-air missiles would mark a key advance in the types of defense systems the West provides. The Patriot system has been under consideration for some time, and one official says it took on more priority as winter closed in. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
The United Nations reports Russia has destroyed 50% of Ukraine's energy infrastructure, putting millions of people at risk of sickness and death as temperatures continue to plunge. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Freezing temperatures, regular blackouts, and power cuts are affecting just about everyone in Ukraine. The UN, however, reports the situation is particularly catastrophic for more than 10 million people living near the front line. The UN says they are facing winter without water, heat, and electricity and are in greatest need of assistance. Jacques Auxilier is the resident representative to Ukraine for the UN Development Program. He says helping people to stay warm during the winter will be a central part of the UN's role over the coming months.
How to keep, for instance, just powers on in hospitals, in schools, in community centers, keeping people warm as a matter of life and death at the moment. And it really is a great concern that so many people are vulnerable to the current situations. It is estimated that nearly 18 million people, or 40% of Ukraine's population, will need some sort of humanitarian aid during these periods of time.
Silier says the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has asked the UNDP and World Bank to do a needs and damage assessment of the infrastructure around the energy grid. Silier says a report is likely to be ready by the end of January. This initial report, he says, will be updated every 2 months going forward. In the meantime, Silier says, the UNDP is providing emergency support and services to help Ukrainians get through the day. Silier adds, UNDP also is supporting the state emergency services by providing new equipment such as ambulances and generators. The UNDP representative notes conditions are particularly desperate for vulnerable people, such as the elderly and those living close to the war zones where water and electricity have been cut off.
What is being created is there are both shelters created for people where they can come and get emergency support. They can get blankets, they can get heating equipment. But there is also some places where if they have no electricity, they can kind of just to stay warm, to get their phone charged, to get basic services that they also need.
The World Health Organization reports at least 715 hospitals and healthcare facilities have come under attack and been destroyed or damaged. Consequently, Silier says few facilities are available to treat people with war wounds, injured by mines or other unexploded ordnance, or suffering from illness and disease. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Some 70 countries and institutions worldwide pledged more than 1 billion euros, or $1.5 billion, in immediate aid to help Ukraine get through a harsh winter. This as Russian forces continue to batter its energy grid and other critical civilian infrastructure. Lauren Anthony of Reuters reports.
Russian forces have battered the country's energy grid and other critical civilian infrastructure, leaving many without essentials ahead of Ukraine's typically frigid season. France hosted a global meeting to discuss what could be offered to maintain water, food, energy, health and transport. His foreign minister, Catherine Colonna.
I'm talking about efforts worth 125 million euros in total from today until late March, the end of winter, which is our contribution in this conference to urgently help the Ukrainian population to survive. By the way, with regard to our country, this is the most significant humanitarian effort that has ever been mobilized by France in such a short period, in a very limited time frame.
Ukrainian Prime Minister Denis Shmyhal told reporters in Paris that Ukraine was grateful for that aid.
I had the opportunity to meet with representatives from donor organizations. And for us in Ukraine, this is a very powerful signal to show that the whole of the civilized world is supporting Ukraine. And we're very grateful to all the countries.
The conference was also an opportunity for French President Emmanuel Macron to display solidarity with Ukraine. He's been criticized by some European allies and Kyiv itself over the level of French military support and his comments about needing to maintain dialogue with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
These airstrikes openly targeting the Ukrainian population and civilian infrastructure, these strikes whose Russia admitted only purpose was to undermine the Ukrainian people's resistance, amount to war crimes. They violate, without any doubt possible, the most fundamental principles of humanitarian law. These acts are unacceptable and will not remain unpunished. I want to be clear, in this context, it is up to Ukraine, the victim of the aggression, to decide on the conditions of a fair and sustainable peace.
The meeting also established a mechanism for Ukraine to submit its urgent needs. Donor countries can then respond promptly. A second meeting between France, Ukraine and some 500 French companies will look into what can be invested to assist Kyiv in the short to longer term.
That's Lauren Anthony of Reuters. In other news, at least 50 people have been killed in the DRC, capital Kinshasa, after heavy rains unleashed floods and caused landslides in the city. The city chief of police, Silvano Kosongo, said on Tuesday, as authorities assessed the damage. Entire neighborhoods were flooded with muddy water and houses and roads ripped apart by sinkholes, including the N1 highway that connects Kinshasa to the chief seaport of Matadi. Images showed a major road crater with people and cars that suddenly dropped off at a steep dirt cliff with a huge hole to swallow houses where the pavement used to be. Residents blame the government for the poor infrastructure impacted by the floods and landslide. You're listening to VOA's International Edition. I am Junior Nofo in Washington. Iran is accusing neighboring Azerbaijan of inflaming its large Azeri ethnic minority at a time of anti-government protests against rulers in Tehran. Dorian Jones reports from Istanbul that Turkey is publicly backing Azerbaijan over the tensions holding joint military exercises.
Turkish and Azerbaijani forces held joint military exercises close to Iran's border this month. The drills saw high-ranking Azeri and Turkish generals participating. The show of force is aimed at sending Tehran a message. Mesut Çarşın is a presidential advisor at Istanbul's Yeditepe University.
It is very clear message to Iran. You respect the Azerbaijan independence and also you have to respect Azerbaijan, the rights around this area geography. And if they aim to be any aggressive the action, Turkey will be answer to the Iran. This is very clear.
With Iran gripped by anti-regime protests, Tehran is blaming Baku for inciting Iran's large Azeri minority. Tehran backed up its diplomatic attacks with military exercises on Azerbaijan's border close to the river that divides the countries. Zal Gazimov is a professor of history and an expert on the Caucasus region at Bonn University.
We have witnessed the Iranian military drills in the borderland of Azerbaijan. Several of them were conducted within of the last months using pontoon bridges. So it was a very clear message to Baku what Iranian military actually were training for.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and his Azeri counterpart Ilham Aliyev have forged a close relationship, signing a joint defense agreement. Turkish military backing was key to Azeri forces successfully recapturing the contested Nagorno-Karabakh enclave from Armenian-backed forces. Israel is also a major supplier of arms to Azerbaijan. Dorian Jones, VOA News, Istanbul.
Australia's Foreign Affairs Minister Betty Wong is leading a group of politicians from Canberra to discuss regional security and other issues in the Pacific. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
COVID, climate change and China will be the main subjects of discussion this week when a senior Australian delegation visits Vanuatu, the Federated States of Micronesia and Palau. Vanuatu is a group of islands three-quarters of the way from Hawaii to Australia. On Tuesday, it signed a bilateral security agreement with Canberra. It covers a broad range of areas, including disaster relief, policing, border security, and maritime safety. In a written statement Tuesday, Australia's Minister for Foreign Affairs, Penny Wong, said the accord would make a valuable contribution to the security of the Pacific family. Wong is travelling with senior members of Australia's centre-left government and members of the Conservative opposition. The bipartisan delegation will also mark 35 years of diplomatic relations with the Federated States of Micronesia and will visit an elementary school to show Australia's support for the island's education sector. In Palau, Wong and her colleagues will visit a solar project supported by Australia. Both Palau and the Federated States of Micronesia are independent countries, but have signed a Compact of Free Association with the United States, which gives Washington responsibility for the island's defence and the right to maintain military bases. Palau is one of the few nations in the world to recognise Taiwan as a sovereign country. Its president, Sarangel Whips Jr., told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation Tuesday that the region faces many serious issues.
There are so many issues that face us, from COVID, which hopefully is behind us, climate, which is constant, and we could say conflict and rising inflation in China. I think those are the main issues that permeate throughout the region.
Earlier this year, China signed a wide-ranging security pact with the Solomon Islands. Beijing said the agreement will enhance social order in the Solomon's archipelago, northeast of Australia. China failed to persuade other Pacific Island nations to sign a broader regional accord, but Australia and its allies believe China maintains its security and trade ambitions in the Pacific. In response, Australia has intensified its diplomatic efforts in the region, promising more action on climate change, security and aid. Bilateral relations between Australia and China have deteriorated over various geopolitical disputes. Allegations of Chinese interference in Australia's domestic affairs and cyber espionage have been dismissed by Beijing as anti-China hysteria. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and our panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including President Joe Biden hosts the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit in Washington, where African leaders and those in the private sector and diaspora face additional challenges brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic and the war in Ukraine. This and more on Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Go beyond the daily headlines with VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. Each weekday, join us as we put the latest developments into a global context with stories, interviews, and analysis. Listen online at voanews.com/flashpoint or in your favorite podcast player.
A
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This has been International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours at voanews.com and check out voafrica.com for more English language programming. You can find International Edition on our current affairs programs, Encounter, Press Conference USA, and Issues in the News on voanews.com. Until next time, I'm Gina Rolfo in Washington. Wishing you a wonderful day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S.-Romania relations are rooted in shared democratic values, in a history of friendship between our two peoples, and in a joint commitment to a rules-based order. On his recent visit to Romania, Secretary of State Antony Blinken reaffirmed the United States will continue to support Romania's work to build robust democratic institutions, to combat corruption, and to strengthen the rule of law. Romania has been a stalwart ally, hosting thousands of U.S. and NATO troops at air and naval bases in service of the NATO alliance. We collaborate closely together on Black Sea operations, which are and will continue to be an important strategic focus for NATO, and we stand united in the face of President Putin's brutal war against Ukraine, said Secretary Blinken. Since Russia's further invasion of Ukraine in February, the U.S. and its allies have surged security assistance to Ukraine that helped tilt the battlefield in Ukraine's direction, said Secretary Blinken.
We choked off the engine of the Russian war economy with unprecedented sanctions and export controls. We provided economic, humanitarian, and now energy assistance to Ukrainians as President Putin targets the infrastructure that provides heat, electricity, and clean water.
In each of these efforts, Romania's leadership has been critical, said Secretary Blinken.
And Romanians have opened their doors and opened their hearts to millions of innocent civilians, mostly women and children, fleeing Putin's violence, tens of thousands of whom remain here in Romania. Romanians have delivered food, water, medical supplies, and fuel to Ukrainians in need. Romania has facilitated the export of more than 6 million tons of Ukrainian grain, helping prevent millions of people around the world from going hungry.
Romania can rely on American support going forward. The U.S. has provided more than $120 million in security assistance to Romania just this past year. In addition, the U.S. has contributed over $48 million to humanitarian assistance programs in Romania for Ukrainian refugees. And on the energy front, the U.S. and Romania are strengthening their civil nuclear cooperation, which aims to bolster energy security while also helping advance global clean energy goals. Having proceeded down its own long road to democracy and now standing up for democracy everywhere, said Secretary Blinken, Romania can count on America to continue to be by its side.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.